has played for quite a number of years, and they've come to Windsor often, and I believe they're coming through again soon. And we heard a track from What It Takes. We heard the title track, What It Takes, from a really cool new album by Mad Ones. And then prior to that, we heard brand new music from Motorists.
We heard Phone Booth in the Desert of the Mind. So you can find that online as a single. This is actually preceding a forthcoming album, Touched by the Stuff. That's going to be released in the upcoming year. I don't have the exact date on me.
I believe it's coming up in May. Okay. I'm not 100%, but very, very soon. And it's going to, yeah, it's going to be released on the We Are Time label. And then we started things off with brand new music that was just released as well from Wine Lips out of Toronto. We heard a track from their newest release, Super Mega Ultra. We heard the track Six Pack.
Speaking of Super, let's talk about Super Unknown, which celebrates 30 years of its release. We're actually a little bit late getting to this because it was originally released back in March on the 4th of 1994.
8th, I believe.
8th, whatever. It's a derivative of it.
Yes. But
no, but, you know, sorry.
Why are we focusing on this? This was a huge album for Soundgarden, and we'll explain a little bit why. This album, when it was released, it debuted at number one on the Billboard 200, which was unheard of. Mm-hmm. Soundgarden had put out several albums and releases by this time, but they were part of that underground Seattle scene that was just bubbling and ready to burst, and they just kind of came out with this album. And prior to this, they had Bad Motorfinger, which is another great album in their discography, and it started to get them more attention. But there was also a lineup change, and I feel like when they added Ben Shepherd, it changed their sound a little bit, but he was on the last album. That was the first release he was on, and this was the second, and I feel like they were kind of getting more comfortable with each other here on this release, and this was one of the first ones. And as you might guess, the lyrics are very dark. Chris Cornell was not shy to sing dark subject matter, and he was influenced by a lot of things, including the writings of Sylvia Plath, and Soundgarden experimented with different tunings, different song structures. They incorporated a little bit different sounds that they hadn't done, more psychedelia, things like that, more melody, I think.
Mm-hmm. And definitely doom metal. Like, that's something that is prominent on here. You have a lot of slow, sludgy songs.
That's
in a
for
way
sure.
That, you know, they were known for that, but they also were known for a lot of high-intensity songs that were influenced by speed metal and punk. This changed the game. It's kind of dirge-like. And while that can come across as sounding, like, dismissive, I feel that's the great accolade of this record. It really encapsulates that mood. I always recognize and respect artists that can capture those feelings and communicate them so authentically, even if they are uncomfortable feelings. And that's something that Cornell did so well throughout his career, but I don't think he did it any better than on this record. And yes, it was a massive hit. Let's not deny it. As you said, it went to number one. It was a multi-platinum record. Not usually the type of thing that we laud and celebrate here on Revolution Rock, but I think people are so accustomed to the big songs. They've heard Spoon Man. They've heard The Day I Tried to Live. They've heard My Way, Fell on Black Days. And of course, Black Hole Sun, almost endlessly, it almost becomes background. And I feel that's a disservice to this record. It reminds me a lot of the phenomena I feel that happens with Nevermind, with Nirvana, yeah, where it's been heard so much, people forget about how impactful and powerful these songs are. So we're going to highlight some of the songs from this record that are not as prevalent, not as well known. And yes, we are going to focus on probably the biggest song from this record,
yes,
but in a way you probably have not heard before. We're going to start off with a demo version of Black Hole Sun, one of the greatest hair-raising songs about an apocalypse, personal or global, take your pick, that you can probably imagine, and one that I won't deny. If I'm just driving a car and it happens to come onto the radio,
I love it.
My 16-year-old self just comes back in. I'm cranking that thing. I'm just going, I wanna know.
I also remember very vividly seeing the music video very young and not really completely understanding what's going on, yeah, because there's definitely an apocalypse happening, and there's like a barbecue, and there's like a melting Barbie doll, and there's like
melting ice cream on people.
And the people's faces are going out of like They're
slightly out of proportion.
It's very strange.
It is very strange. Surrealistic, almost Lynchian music video in a way that is very discomforting. And I think that's part of what made the song blow up so much, in addition to being just a very like catchy song. And I do get some people did not like the production of this record, feeling it was very compressed. I think that added to the sludgy, kind of swampy feeling of the record, where you really are feeling immersed in this world. And granted, if you don't like listening to music that could potentially make you feel a little bit bummed, this is not going to be for you.
Right. Do not listen to some of the songs on this record. But
and yet, with that said, there is so much life and energy in these songs, somehow paradoxically, with how dirgy it can be. It's incredible. I think this also changed a lot of people's perceptions of what indie music was going to be and what alternative music was going to be. Obviously, a lot of it was that post-Nirvana, let's kind of do a pop-punk sound, and maybe we'll just incorporate more melodic elements and we'll get some radio play. Because of the lyrical content and because of the grandiosity of the near metal sounds that were happening on this, that really changed how a lot of alternative bands were performing and recording at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no denying that. I think there is an underwhelming, appreciation of how significant this album was influencing popular music and alternative rock at the time. And for that reason, I think it is well deserving of this celebration for its 30th anniversary.
And we're going to start off with, we're going to hear two tracks that were not officially on the album proper. And
Not true.
Well, we're going to hear a demo version of Black Hole Sun. Mm-hmm. You can find this on the deluxe edition of Super Unknown, which I believe came out in 2014. And then we're going to hear two tracks from the album and a track that was a B-side and only on some editions of the album.
That's right, that's right. And it's very interesting, definitely hearing that Sylvia Plath influence on this one. But with that said, here we go. Dave, what's the song we're opening with?
The demo version of Black Hole Sun here on Revolution Rock.
The face lies.
So there we are, celebrating 30 years of Super Unknown by Soundgarden. Now, what's really interesting about this group, for me, is the fact that while they were known as this heavy grunge group, they obviously had a huge level of influence from a lot of melodic 60s rock, the Beatles primarily. We were just discussing that, especially this version of Black Hole Sun we played. You don't hear that same crunching guitar that you do on the studio version. This one, it does have more of a psychedelic bent to it, in a way where I think it encapsulates the musicality of the group better than maybe the big famous version did.
Yeah, it's maybe they were going more for the psychedelic thing on that one. It's definitely there. And I can definitely hear the influence of maybe some of the guitar work of George Harrison, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Soundgarden's sound is, well, it's definitely heavy. But I feel like it's interesting because sometimes you're listening and I'm like, this kind of sounds like Black Sabbath. Or this sounds a little bit like, sometimes like Led Zeppelin, but not really. I say maybe in the terms of the alternate tunings, how they would do those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
But also the Beatles are in there, and they always just pop out at you, like, and you're just like, oh, you know, that's kind of cool. And that's one of the examples, I think. And we started off the set with a demo version of Black Hole Sun.
Mm-hmm. After that, we heard the title track from Super Unknown, such an interesting lyrical element in that. And it was really just about that, just the unknowable, which was so cool. And so, I guess you could say, ahead of what a lot of their peers were doing in terms of lyrical content.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going back to their punk roots, although what we heard afterwards with Kickstand, the shortest song by far on the album, just shy of being 2 minutes. And then we heard She Likes Surprises. This one's an interesting track because it shows, again, that more melodic side of the band. And some people had this as the final song on the record if they had the, I believe it was the European pressing of the CD, or if they had the LP version of it.
Yeah, but if you bought the CD in the US / North America, it wasn't there. But it was on the reissue, the 2014 Deluxe Edition. That's how we ended off that set. So hopefully you enjoyed that. And if you haven't heard this album, go check it out because it's pretty cool. And it changed a lot. For a lot of the alternative music, what it would become and what it wasn't, actually, until that point.
So, and let's just, you know, put it out there, pop music, too. Like, this was a multi-platinum record. It's one of those things where it wasn't like a lot of really aggressive, heavier psychedelic music was topping the charts at that point. What was topping the charts was, yeah, you had some stuff like Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains, but nothing to the level at which Soundgarden took their sound and their lyrical content. And yeah, you know, they definitely are one of the quintessential grunge era bands for that reason, and this album, one of the quintessential grunge era records. So say what you will about Soundgarden in terms of their popularity, in terms of exposure, you can't deny they definitely had an influence. Let's leave it that way.
Yeah, and yeah, let's leave it that way. We're going to continue next with some newer music, kind of focusing on some bands that are going to be doing shows and on tour, starting off with a track by Waxahachie.
That's right. So we're going to hear something from Waxahachie's most recent release, Tiger's Blood, that was released to great critical acclaim just a few weeks back. We're going to hear the track Bored, and this coincides with a live performance that Waxahachie will be performing on April 21st at the Majestic Theater, so make sure to get tickets for that. Also in this set, we're going to be highlighting live shows being performed by Shotgun Jimmy, Allison Brown, Ron Leary, and more, so let's just get to it with music from Waxahachie after these brief PSAs to remind you what station you're tuned into.
Make it feel it. make an exit on this sleigh, armed with a memory. Surely will stay with me, fragments of misery, feeding off my body. I keep my eyes shut, sage advice to rebut. A blind squirrel finds a nut, mapping out the shortcuts. 20 questions, dexterous protesting, and what a blessing. Save it, man.